Would you open your Bibles with me tonight to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11? We often come to this place in Scripture when it's time to, the church has set a time to observe the Lord's Supper, and we want to make sure that we approach this time with the right heart. I want to say from the outset, if you immediately go, well, I've heard all this before, so it doesn't matter, then you don't understand what the Lord's Supper is all about. We do it in remembrance, and it's not going to change. The message is the same. The instructions in Scripture are the same. And so these truths are going to be the same truths that I've shared many, many times. But don't let that take away the importance of it. Listen to the Word of God and let it speak to your heart. After Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, you'll remember he cleansed the temple again. He heals there and he teaches there in Jerusalem. Then he goes into the upper room with his disciples and he institutes what we call today the Lord's Supper. And it's a memorial ordinance that's to be observed by the local church to remember what Christ has done for us. And so I want to invite you, if you would, please stand with me one more time tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We're going to begin at verse 23. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with this, with the world. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you again for the opportunity to come and to spend some time together around your holy word. I pray that you'd help me to present your word exactly as you'd have me to. I pray that you would help all of us to look into our hearts tonight, to examine ourselves. And Father, that your spirit would show us if there's any wicked way in us, would help us to repent of any sin, anything that's not right between us and you, Lord, that we would just get it right even now. Father, I pray that as we approach your table tonight, that we would do so with reverence and with seriousness in our hearts and minds. And we thank you so much for Christ who died for us and rose again. And we pray that you'll get glory from all that we do here tonight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Very quickly tonight, I want to walk through these scriptures with you and just notice a few things. Number one, notice the picture. In verses 23 and 24, Jesus gives us the picture of the bread. He says, take, eat, this is my body. He takes the bread and he gives thanks and breaks it and gives it to the disciples. This bread is a representation of his body. Now we know that Jesus had told the disciples that he was going to Jerusalem, that there he would suffer many things, that he would die, that he would even be crucified and rise again the third day. They didn't understand that. Those truths didn't have enlightenment of those things until after he rose again. But he told them what was going to happen. And before it ever does happen, he gives them this picture when he takes the bread and he tears it and he gives it to them as a picture of what would happen to him not long after this supper. He gives them the cup in verse 25. The same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. We know that that day that Jesus was arrested, that they would smite him, that they would beat him, that they would rip the beard from his face, that they would scourge him, and the blood would flow down. When they put the crown of thorns on his head, that the blood would flow down. No doubt when they nailed him to the cross and they hoisted him up in front of everyone, the blood, that precious blood, flowed down the cross that day on Mount Calvary. He gave them the cup as a sign of what he was about to do. We see the picture, not only that, but notice the place. In verse 21 in our text, it's interesting. If you'll back up to verse 21, verse 20. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper, for in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken. Now, I want to try to explain this the best that I can, because when we look at the book of 1 Corinthians, this letter was written to a church that was having all kinds of problems. And what they had done was bring in some of the traditions of their pagan feasts that they had had at the temple. They were bringing that together and kind of trying to mesh it together with what was the Lord's Supper. And it was chaos. They had not discerned the Lord's body. They had not taken it with the serious that they needed to. And they were coming in, and somebody who was wealthy and had a lot, they would bring food for themselves, but they wouldn't share it with people who were poor. And they were having this big feast without sharing with everyone else. Other people were coming in with alcoholic wine, and they were drinking and getting drunk. It was absolute chaos. And we read a moment ago, because they had made a mockery of the Lord's table, many of them, God had chastened them and made them sick. Some of them had even died because they were not discerning the Lord's body. They weren't approaching this for what it was all about. And so when he says here, when ye come together, in verse 20, Paul says, when you're coming together the way that you have been, that's not the way you come together for the Lord's Supper. When you come together in the way that you've been doing it, that's not the way you come together to eat the Lord's Supper. You're despising God's church. You're shaming one another. If we go down to verse 33 in our text, he says, wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. I want you to notice the places when the church was assembled together, they came together and they were to do so with the purpose of observing the Lord's Supper. There was to be some intentionality about it when they came together to set a time and to have a place. So we see the picture of the bread and the cup. We see the place when they came together. And of course, we see the purpose. Why? Why is it important for our church to observe the Lord's Supper? Why is it important for us to set a time that we come together for this purpose? Well, I think that we could probably just stop with this and it would be enough. We'll go a little further, but Jesus said, this do. That kind of ought to settle it, shouldn't it? When I was growing up, I often asked my mother when she would tell me to do something, I always wanted to know why. Any of your kids ever ask you why? I don't know if I ever got any other answer but this. Because I'm your mother, and I said so. I never was satisfied with that then, but I'm learning to be satisfied with that when it comes to the Word of God. Hey, listen, when Jesus says this do, then we should do it. That ought to be enough. When it's a commandment of the Lord, Jesus said, if ye love me, keep my commandments. And if he says to do it, then we ought to do it. The purpose is to do what Jesus said. The purpose is to remember. He says in verses 24 and 25, this do in remembrance of me. In remembrance of me. What we need to do is be careful not to forget who we are in Christ, and we need to be careful not to forget what Christ has done for us. We remember in 2 Peter chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12 says, wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yet I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Man, I love that. That's good for me. Some of you might think, I get Brother Isaac's always preaching the gospel, like he's always just talking about the gospel. Listen, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, I think it's good for me to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. I think it's good for me to remind you of what Christ has done for all of us. And we want to remember what Christ has done. We take the bread, we take the cup, we do those things to remember what Jesus Christ did for us, to remind us, not only to remember, but to represent. He says in verse 26, ye do show the Lord's death. You show the Lord's death. Can I remind you? Acts 20:28 says, take heed therefore unto yourselves, to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. We want to remember and we want to represent. We show the Lord's death. The bread and the cup are laid out for us, are partaken by us to show that Christ died for us. Jesus preached that he was the bread from heaven. You remember the Jews one day started to argue. They said, listen, our forefathers, they were with Moses and they had the manna that came down from heaven. And he said, no, that's not the manna from heaven. I am the bread of life that came down from heaven. Listen, when we look at the bread, when we look at the cup, we remember who Christ is, and it represents that he died for us. Not only that, can I say, and stay with me for a second, because we not only remember and represent, but we ought to rejoice. Now, I always try to be very careful that we approach the Lord's table with seriousness and with great reverence. But I want to remind you that though we look to the cross of Calvary with godly sorrow, do we not? When you look to Jesus dying on the cross, do you not look with godly sorrow? That he died because of your sins and because of my sins. When I remember that Christ bled because of my sin, when I remember that he died because of my sin, it causes godly sorrow to overwhelm me. And that's all right. We come with that seriousness. But remember, he didn't stay dead. He says, you show the Lord's death till he come. And not only do we want to remember and represent what he did for us, but we're looking for his coming again. And we do this with that in mind. We're going to take this supper and we're going to keep doing it as often as we do it. We're going to keep doing it over and over and over until he comes. Listen, we won't be partaking of the Lord's supper in heaven. Not this supper, not this memorial. We remember as we look for his return. And friends, if you're not looking to his return with rejoicing in your heart, then something's not right. So we see the picture, we see the purpose, we see the place, we see the people. We see the people of the Lord's Supper. There needs to be a fellowship in the body of Christ. Now I want you to notice in Luke 22:14, when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. When Jesus instituted this supper that we observe tonight, he didn't do it when he had the multitudes in the field. He didn't do it when he fed the multitudes with the fishes and loaves. It wasn't something he did with the multitudes. These were those who were faithful followers of Jesus Christ. He brought them together. We notice that we're studying right now from the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2 says, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. I want to remind you tonight that this is a church letter. That this letter was written to a local church, and it applies to local churches. By the way, when you study your Bible, you ought to remember those things you learn in school. Those who, what, when, where's, and why's. Remember those? Yeah, when you read your Bible, you ought to look at who's speaking and who they're speaking to and what they're speaking about and why they're speaking and when they're speaking. All of those things matter. Now, I want to tell you, here at Calvary, we practice what's known as closed communion. There are some churches that practice what's known as open communion, and some churches practice what's known as close communion. But here at Calvary, we practice what's known as closed communion. I want to explain to you why we do that. Open communion means that anybody who professes to be saved can come in and partake of the supper. Close communion means that anybody that's of a church of the same kind can come in and partake of the Lord's Supper. But closed communion, we practice here means that only those that are in right standing with this local church can partake. And there's some reasons for that. When we look to the book, and let me say this. I know some people look at things and they say, well, is that descriptive or is it prescriptive? Is it just telling us what they did or is it telling us what we ought to do? Well, I want to tell you this. If we're going to err on the side of any way, we want to err to the side of caution. We want to be conservative for the Lord's sake. And we want to be careful. This letter was written to a church, and I believe that it applies to churches. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 2, he says to the church at Corinth, "Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you." The ordinances were to be kept and observed by the local church. And so we see that this letter was to the church and there to observe the ordinances in the church. I want to draw your attention to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 11 through 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 11. "But now I have written unto you not to keep company. If any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner, with such an one, know not to eat. For what have I to do to judge them that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within. But them that are without God judgeth. Therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person." We see that he gives this instruction to the church that has to do with church discipline. By the way, we still believe in church discipline at Calvary as well. Listen, if any one of us, myself included, are involved in any kind of public open offense against God, then we are to be dealt with by the church. I'm accountable to you. Did you know that? And some of you are like, well, yeah, we know that. You're the pastor. We hired you so we can fire you. No. I'm a member of Calvary Missionary Baptist Church, and I am accountable to you. And you know what? You're accountable to each other too. We're all accountable to one another. The way that we carry ourselves in our testimony, and he gives us some of these open public sins, fornication, covetousness, idolatry, a railer or a drunkard or extortioner. And what do we do? Well, what we do is we put them without. Listen, we judge those that are within. We have no authority over anybody who's outside of this local body. We only have authority over those who are in this local body. We can't put anybody out of this local body if they're not a part of it. And so he ties together this business of church discipline with eating the Lord's Supper. With such a one, know not to eat. Put them away from among yourselves. And so we see that this, the people who are involved with the Lord's Supper are those in the local body. Notice that it doesn't stop there. He wants us to be faithful. He looks at the condition of the church. Now, back in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 18, 1 Corinthians 11, 18, he says, "For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must also be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among ye. When you come together therefore into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper." What's he saying? When you come together with divisions, when you come together with these wrong motives, with these wrong purposes, you don't want to partake of the Lord's Supper in that condition. In other words, we need to be in unity as a church before we observe the Lord's table together. We need to make sure that our hearts are focused on Christ when we come together. So, first of all, we've got to be members of this local church. Secondly, the church itself has to have a right condition. We have to be in unity. And then notice this, we have to examine ourselves. We have to have the knowledge to discern the Lord's body. We have to have true repentance. I want to read you what a man named Albert Barnes said about this. He said, "If he has knowledge to discern the Lord's body, if he has true repentance for his sins, true faith in the Lord Jesus, and a sincere desire to live the life of a Christian and to be like the Son of God and to be saved by the merits of his blood, let him examine himself and see whether he have the right feelings of a communicant and can approach the table in a proper manner." He warns us that we don't partake unworthily. Now, I want you to look at that again in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 in verse 27. "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." He goes on and says in verse 29, "For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." This word unworthily, it doesn't have to do with your condition. It has to do with your approach, your manner. Now, this is really important. I've shared this with you before, but when I was coming up in the church and early on, I didn't understand what this meant. I thought it just meant unworthy. Well, I don't know about you, but I have never, ever, and I don't think I ever will, feel worthy to partake of the Lord's Supper. I think that if we feel worthy, then we're definitely not in a right frame of mind. And so as a young man one time, the church was observing the Lord's Supper, and I thought this meant unworthy, and I thought, well, I'm certainly not worthy, so I didn't partake. Now, I regret that. I think I'll regret that till the day I die. Because I'm so thankful to learn that this word doesn't mean unworthy. It means unworthily. That's why it's a different word. See the L-Y at the end? They're different words. Unworthily, it means to not partake in an unworthy manner. This word literally means irreverently. So the church at Corinth, they were coming together basically having a big party. That's not a right manner. That's not reverent. That's not with the right heart and right motives and seriousness. And the Lord judged them because of it. So we need to be a member of the church in good standing. The church needs to be in unity, and I need to come with a reverent heart to the table. Listen, friends, none of us are worthy. That's kind of the whole point of the body and the blood of the Savior, because we're not worthy. So he makes us worthy. He invites us to his table. But we come with a seriousness. We come with a reverence. We come reverently to his table. That's what it means to come in a worthy manner. So what do? Well, we try to match it the best we can. Jesus took the bread and he gave thanks and he broke it and he gave to them. And that's what we do. We take the bread, we distribute it, and we partake of the bread. We take the cup, we give thanks, we distribute it, and we drink it. And then when they finished, the Bible says in Mark 14:26, when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. So what do? We partake of the bread, we partake of the cup, and then we sing a hymn as we go out of this place, and we try to follow it as best we can. Now listen, I know other churches do it different, and they have every right to do it however they believe that they should biblically. But for us, this is the way we do it. And we try to follow the scriptures the best way we know how. But I want to tell you this. All the little details about how we do it, I think they matter, but they don't matter nearly as much as our heart when we come. Let a man examine himself. I try to preach this message or a message like it every time we come for a time of the Lord's Supper, because I don't want you to come to the table unwarned. Don't come with a wrong heart. And let me challenge you with this. Don't make the same mistake I did. If you look tonight and you say, well, there's some things not right, maybe I shouldn't partake. No, get them right. Do you know how hard it is to get your heart right with Jesus tonight? It's this hard. Repent. Confess. Because if you confess, he is faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. You can come to the table tonight with a right heart. I don't care what you did today or yesterday or last week or last month or last year. It doesn't matter. You can come right tonight because his blood is able to take away all your sins. And come tonight confessing. Make sure your heart's right. And let's honor him with a right heart. Come with a reverent heart tonight. You examine your heart tonight. And I want to encourage you this. We're going to get ready for a verse of invitation. I just want to ask you to do this. Examine your heart right now. Maybe you need to pray right where you're at. Maybe you need to come down here to the altar. And listen, if you're more concerned about what people think if you come to this altar than you are about getting your heart right with Jesus, you got trouble anyway. Listen, make sure to examine your heart. Ask the Lord to show you what's not right there and get it right tonight. Let's stand together.